जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपद परमहंस परिवृज जगचार्य अष्टोत्तर सप्तशी श्रीमाधि स्वयं ग्रेस ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन 50th एनिवर्सरी की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु अंगरंगा। नमो विष्णु पराय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय बुतरे श्रीमते शंकर शंदा सरिकरी तिनामिने नमो प्रभु पारनुगा प्रेम मोति के प्राप्त मने गोरदेश विकाशार्थ उत्तम भक्ति वर्षिने। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, The Beautiful Story of the Personality of Godhead, Canto 8, which is Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creations, Chapter 9, first verse. The Lord incarnates as Mohini Murti. Text 1. Sri Shuka Uvacha Tenyo Nyato Sura Patram Harantas Chakta Sauridaha Kripanto Dasyu Dharmana Ayantim Dadrishu Sriyam Shri Shuka Vacha Tenyo Nyato Sura Patram Harantas Chakta Sauridaha Kripanto Dasya Dharmana Ayantim Dadrishu Sriyam Shri Shuka Uvacha Tenyo Nyato Sura Patram Harantas Chakta Sauridaha Kripanto Dasya Dharmana Ayantim Dadrishu Sriyam Sri Shuka Uvacha Tenyo Nyato Sura Patram Harantas Chakta Sauridaha Kripanto Dasyu Dharmana Ayantim Dadrishu Sriyam Tenyo Nyato Sura Patram Harantas Chakta Saurida Kripanto Dasya Dharmana Ayantim Dadrishu Sriyam Shri Shuka Uvacha Tenyo Nyato Sura Patram Harantas Chakta Sauridaha Kripanto Dasyu Dharmana Ayantim dadrishu striyam. Sri Shuka Vacha Tenyo Nyato Sura Patram Harantas Chakta Sauridaha Kshipanto Dasyudharmana Ayantim Dadrishu Striyam Sri Shuka Uvacha Tenyo Nyato Surapatram Harantas Jakta Sauridaha Kshipanto Dasyudharmana Ayantim Dadrishu Sriyam Sri Shuka Uvacha Sri Shuka Shukadeva Goswami said, Te, the demons, anyonyataha, among themselves, asura, the demons, patram, the container of nectar, haranta, snatching from one another. Chakta Sauridaha became inimical toward one another. Kshipanta, sometimes throwing. Dasyudharmana, sometimes snatching like robbers. Ayantim, coming forward. Dadrishu, saw. Striyam, a very beautiful and attractive woman. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami said, thereafter, the demons became inimical toward one another. Throwing and snatching the container of nectar, they gave up their friendly relationship. Meanwhile, they saw a very beautiful young woman coming toward them, coming forward toward them. Please repeat. Shukadeva Goswami said, thereafter the demons became inimical toward one another. Throwing and snatching the container of nectar, they gave up their friendly relationship. Meanwhile, they saw a very beautiful young woman coming forward toward them. So there's no purport. And should I go on? A couple more verses, there's a purport. So I'll read the Sanskrit and the translation. Text 2. Aho rupam aho dhamma aho asya navam vayaha Iti te tam abhidrutya paprachchur yatarichchayaha. Translation. Upon seeing the beautiful woman, the demon said, alas, how wonderful is her beauty, how wonderful the luster of her body, and how wonderful the beauty of her youthful age. Speaking in this way, they quickly approached her, full of lusty desires to enjoy her, and began to inquire from her in many ways. Text 3. Katvam kanja palakshaksi kutova kim chikirshasi kasyasi vada vamoru matnativa manamsi naha. Translation. O wonderful, beautiful girl, you have such nice eyes resembling the petals of a lotus flower. Who are you? Where do you come from? What is your purpose in coming here? And to whom do you belong? O you whose thighs are extraordinarily beautiful, our minds are becoming agitated simply because of seeing you. A purport by Srila Prabhupada. The demons inquired from the wonderfully beautiful girl, to whom do you belong? A woman is supposed to belong to her father before her marriage, to her husband after her marriage, and to her grown sons in her old age. In regard to this inquiry, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura says that the question, to whom do you belong, means, whose daughter are you? Since the demons could understand that the beautiful girl was still unmarried, every one of them desired to marry her. Thus they inquired, whose daughter are you? Om Jnanati Mirandasya Giranjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who has opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhya eva chapatitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava, devotees of the Lord, who can fulfill the desires of everyone just like desire trees, and who are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. So, this is a new pastime. Krishna manifested himself as a very beautiful woman in order to cheat the demons out of the nectar that they've snatched away from Dhanvantari. During the churning of the ocean of milk, which is a great pastime, many things were produced. A cow, horse, elephant, and Lakshmi Devi was coming out of there, as we read last week. And then also Dhanvantari came carrying a pot of Amrita, or the nectar of immortality. So the demons, being of the lusty and greedy spirit that they have, immediately wanted this for themselves and snatched it away from Dhanvantari. And the demigods were very much upset about this, about losing the nectar, which was rightfully theirs. So they took shelter of Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu pacified them and said he would take care of the situation. And his method of taking care of the situation was to appear as a very beautiful woman. So this is the Mohini Murti incarnation of Krishna, as Krishna is incarnating as a beautiful young girl. So the word Krishna means the all-attractive one. He's able to attract everyone. And when he manifests himself in different incarnations, of course, he's all-attractive. But he especially manifested this attractive feature in the Mohini Murti incarnation. And as we can see, the demons were very much attracted because of their lusty desires. They wanted to enjoy. So this is the nature of demons. They want to enjoy for themselves. The conditioned living entities are covered by lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and fearfulness. And we're conditioned because we want to enjoy. And so we're given a place, we want to enjoy separately, so we're given a place where apparently we are enjoying separately. And that's this material world. So, in the spiritual world, there is no lust. All desire is simply to serve with love the Supreme Lord and his associates. There's this loving propensity. When we lose or forget this loving propensity and desire to become the center of enjoyment ourselves, then we're put into this material world. And so we're fallen into this material world because of our desire to enjoy. And basically, it's a demoniac desire. So the demigods, they're also conditioned souls, but they're trying to enjoy, to develop this enjoying propensity in relationship to the Supreme Lord according to prescribed methods. So even though the demigods still have the tendency to want to dominate the material world through various energies, still they're doing it as a service to Krishna or to the Supreme Lord, Lord Vishnu. Krishna in this world is Lord Vishnu. So they're the demigods, they're Vaishnavas, they're servants of Vishnu, and the demons, they're asuras, they're not, they're I-Vaishnavas. So they separate themselves. They desire not to serve. They desire to serve to enjoy separately. So. So in these three verses that we've read, we can see that the demons, even though they may develop friendship with each other and cooperate, so whenever there's an opportunity for enjoying their lusty, expressing their lusty desires, then there's quarrel among them, because they all want to be the first. In this case, each one wanted to be the first of the first one to enjoy the nectar of immortality, and thus they, because of their disagreement, nobody was able to enjoy it first. There was no cooperation. All cooperation ceased. So this, of course, we can see this in the material world. As Kali Yuga progresses, there are more and more quarrels over trifles, and everybody's fighting to get their portion of planet Earth that they can exploit and enjoy and dominate. So in one sense, planet Earth is being tossed around like a ball from this group to that group of asuras, or people that claim to be religionists, this group, that group. And it boils down to the national level, the community level. Even within the United States, for example, there's been many issues with policemen taking advantage of their power and authority and actually killing other people, usually black people. But there's retaliation, because certain black people, they don't like this. So they have riots, or they start shooting the police. You know, so there's this quarrel on different levels. My roots, on my mother's side, they go back to France. And sometimes I go and visit there, and I have my brother-in-law, who's from Lebanon, and he tells me that there's a lot of strife in France. France used to dominate many of the Northern Africa countries, like Tunisia, Morocco, Syria. They were all French colonies. And After World War II, France granted freedom to these colonies, and they gave a choice to the people living in the colonies, these North African colonies, they can come back to France and live as citizens of France, or they can stay and have their own country. So quite a few of them, Muslims, they went to France because it's a better quality of life in France, supposedly, on the relative plane. So my brother-in-law tells me that ever since then, there's been always a strife between France is mostly Catholic country, but then there's the Muslims that came, and so there's a lot of conflict between the Muslims and the Catholics. And the Muslims are generally in a lower social economic stratus. They have a lot of trouble. There's unemployment rate among the Muslim youth is something around 25%. So there's practically every day there's some kind of protest going on in France, particularly in southern France, where they roll over cars and set them on fire. So this is Kali Yuga that's going on here. And of course, practically every country, Colombia has got problems. They had a civil war for 50 years. Mexico's got problems in south southern part of Mexico, where there's a guerrilla warfare going on there. And of course, this situation is going on, and it's getting worse. It's getting worse. Kali Yuga is going to degrade. Kali Yuga is going to last a long time. There's another 427,000 years left, and Kali Yuga is going to degrade to where there's practically no more rainfall, no more crops. Everybody's got to go into the forest to try to scrounge up some seeds, or some, as they say, the fruits, the mangoes will be mostly skin and seed and practically no flesh. So people are going to be malnourished, and they're going to shrink down to the size of pygmies. And they're going to resort to cannibalism. They will live short lives. However, because we're situated in a very favorable time, this is the golden age of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago, also in a very, very attractive feature. As a devotee of the Lord with golden complexion, appearing with his associates like Lord Nityananda, the Panchatattva, and many, many other associates, and has started this Sankirtan movement of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by this chanting, inaugurating the method by which we can become purified of our desires to lord it over material nature, to enjoy, to express our lusty desires, to be greedy for accumulating things, and so many things. So, by the grace of the parampara, the order has come for this Sankirtan movement to be spread all over the world. And Srila Prabhupada has so, in such a compassionate way, sacrificed his whole life to fulfill the order that he got from his spiritual master to spread this Krishna consciousness philosophy and the chanting of the pure holy names of Krishna in the Western worlds. And now, because of his pure heart, he has this movement has reached every corner of the world. So it behooves us to become also pure at heart and to chant the Hare Krishna mantra as a form of worship, the form of worship of the holy name. And the holy name, as I was reading last week, By listening to the Guru speak and recite the pure holy name, and the disciple can accept it in his heart and try to worship the holy name in such a pure way, then the holy name will expand his glories within the heart of the disciple, and the disciple will become empowered to spread the holy name. And in such empowerment, the disciple will become blissful, and he will dance and express a joyful feelings of in his performance of Sankirtan. So this is very nice. This is a very nice process. So in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining the position of women. He's saying that women should be, a woman is supposed to belong to her father before her marriage, to her husband after her marriage, and to her grown sons and in her old age. So I'll touch on this a little bit. Chanakya Pandit says all men should regard any woman other than her mother or his wife as their mother, And I was thinking about this, trying to figure out how is this possible, especially for an old man like me to consider a young woman to be my mother. And then I figured out how you can do it. How I can do it is that I am an old man and I can die at any time. And I may take birth again. And if I'm going to take birth, I'm going to take birth in some young woman's womb. So I don't know which woman. It could be any woman, so except for my wife. So any woman is my mother, possibly my mother. So in this way, you can think of, well, I may die at any moment, and then I'll be forced to take birth in the womb of a mother, and she'll be my mother. So I was also, I've been married, and my wife and I, we have a very nice relationship. And we've discussed this point many times, is that many women, they're fearful. That's their natural tendency. They're fearful because men have a tendency to want to exploit women. And therefore, women, they feel this tendency that people are going to exploit it. So they want to feel protected. They're fearful, and they want to be protected. So the natural protectors for women are the father, in infancy, in young age, and later on, the husband is supposed to protect and give feeling of safety to the wife. And then later on, when the husband either dies or leaves, as is the Vedic custom, then the woman should be protected and given shelter by the son, the older son. So when women are protected, when they feel safe, then they can express their devotion. So anyway, that's a little point I wanted to share. So anyway, I'll stop here, see if there's any questions or any comments, reflections.
I want to just add something. That is, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that I am the beauty of woman. So, I am the beauty of woman.
Okay.
And I was thinking that also there it is mentioned, Prabhupada has mentioned in purport, that when we see any beautiful woman, we should think she is meant for Krishna service. So how can we develop that attitude? Like that, it is easy to say, it is easy to think, but how can we develop that feeling?
So the question is that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that he's the beauty of women, you're saying. And so you were saying that Prabhupada is saying that whenever we see a beautiful woman, we should think of Krishna. Is that what you're saying? How can we develop that? Well, by practice and detachment. You know, yeah, we have to. This is a practice of yoga that we're doing. There's many kinds of yoga, but eventually, the yoga boils down to controlling the mind and the senses. Now, the process that we have, bhakti yoga, is very easy. It's the most easy and the most effective, and can be performed anywhere. You don't have to go to the Himalayas or into the forests to perform this, or in seclusion. You can, as we're doing here, we can perform this bhakti yoga in the tumultuous city of Chicago. It's very distracting, and so yoga means to control the mind and senses, and we do it by practice and detachment. So we have to see, well, there's many beautiful women, and we have to see, well, we have to train our minds to see that this is the energy of Krishna, or this woman, attractive feature is an expansion of Radharani, you might say, because she possesses all the attractive feminine attributes, right? And she expands herself in all these Lakshmis. And are they the gopis or also the Lakshmis, which are the consorts of Lord Narayan, and or of all the other avatars of Krishna. So, and they have many of these attributes of Radharani. She's expanding her feminine I'm trying to think of the word that Prabhupada uses. Attractive feminine gestures. That wasn't the right word, but anyway, you get the idea. They have a very beautiful luster and bodily features and attractive gestures. So all of these are expansions of Radharani, who embodies the perfection of all this feminine nature. And she is full of these feminine attributes that she's able to attract Krishna. Now, in the spiritual world, there is no lust. It's only in this material world. In the spiritual world, everything's prema. Everything has prema. Here it's kama. So kama is prema that's covered over. So we have to uncover this kama and develop or express the prema. Well, we see it. You know, we see through the we were given intelligence by the guru and by the shastras. So the intelligence is the means of controlling the mind, and the mind is the means of controlling the senses. So we have to purify our consciousness with our intelligence. So I was just reading the 11th canto. There's this chapter where a King Yadu meets with the Avaduta Brahmana, and he's asking the Avadhuta Brahmana how he can be so transcendentally situated. And the Brahmana says, well, it's by intelligence. So he gives the 24 different gurus that he had. And one of those gurus that he's mentioning that taught him something was pigeons, the pigeon. So the story of the pigeon is that once there was a pigeon and he became attracted by this female pigeon, and they united and made a nest, and they had little babies that they were very fond of and taking care of these babies very nicely. And every day they would go out and look for food for their baby pigeons. Well, one day a hunter came by and saw these baby pigeons all alone in the nest. The parents had gone off to the forest. So he captured the pigeons, and then when the mother pigeon came back with some food, she saw that the baby pigeons were captured, and she ran towards them to try to free them. And the hunter, of course, captured the mother pigeon. And then the father pigeon came by, and he saw his wife and his children captured by the hunter, practically on the verge of death, and he started lamenting, oh, my whole life and soul is gone. So he became bewildered. In explaining how the male and female pigeons came together, it's described that the female nature knows how to control by attractive gestures and pleasant words, how to capture the male pigeon. So the male pigeon was captured and totally bewildered into this family situation. Eventually, they all were captured by the hunter and killed. So the guru of the pigeon is a guru on how not to become entangled in family life. One can have a family life, but one should have it to where one is detached, both attached and detached at the same time. And that requires intelligence. In the tenth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tisham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly engaged in my devotional service, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. So we have to engage in the service of Krishna and Krishna's associates, the devotees. And by this service, this intelligence comes. It's given to us. It's awakened within our heart by the instruction of the guru. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayad Haitukam. By performance of devotional service unto Lord Vasudev, when he immediately acquires knowledge and detachment. So this knowledge and detachment that we have, it's a symptom of intelligence. Did that answer your question, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Bhimam Bhakti, for your class and your association. My first experience in Krishna consciousness was actually in 2006 when I went to...
I'm sorry.
One of my first experiences in Krishna consciousness was actually when I went to 2006 to the parade in Michigan where you and your wife held.
Really?
I didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness too much, so I always remember that experience because it was one of my first. So.
Well, that's nice to hear. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So... You were mentioning that it's possible to control the mind by practice and detachment. And that reminds me of a verse in the Gita prior to that where Arjuna says, it is easier to control the wind than it is to control the mind. So from that statement, it seems like it's impossible to control the mind. So my question is related to the fact that when we're looking to relationships in the material world, not just marriage, because we see in a marriage, if a person hasn't protected their consciousness from lust, they don't want to be able to protect, people get divorced all the time. But it's not that, you know, marriages get divorced, friends get divorced. If they're searching out for that nectar, wanting to be the center of attention, so there's envy arise. Even a father could act as an antagonist against his son, like Hiranya Kashipu and Prahlad. So we see in the material world that everyone's getting divorced, practically speaking. So we're all looking for that protection from our friends, our husbands, our wives, our sisters, and our brothers, but we can see that there's quarrel in the material world all the time. So
you say we're looking for detachment?
No, we're looking for protection.
Protection.
From our friends, our family, our husbands, our wife.
Yeah.
So my question is essentially is that even if you had the best friend in the world, the best husband in the world, whatever relationship, it could end in a moment, somebody could die. So we're looking for some stable protection, some relationship.
Yes.
But how do we give up this tendency that, you know, because we can see if you expect something, you don't get it, you know, your whole life, you know, crashes before your life. So how do we give up this tendency to expect everyone in this material world to be perfect, to be the perfect friends, the perfect husbands, et cetera, and then our whole lives is ruined and it causes quarrel. So how do we more put our attention towards somebody who's actually stable, the Lord? So how can we develop that, not so much put our faith in maybe, you know, that, you know, everyone in this material world, including devotees, are perfect. They're not, you know, there's going to be mistakes. So can you expand on those points a little bit?
Well, yeah, there's several things come to mind. So basically, to rephrase your question, see if I understood it right, is that in this material world, relationships are temporary. The material relationships have a tendency to divorce, you might say, as you said, right? A husband and wife, or parents and children, friend and friends. And we're all looking for protection somewhere. And either in friendship, or family, or husband and wife relationships. So we have to know where to seek shelter. And this requires some intelligence, because if we're seeking shelter in temporary relationships, it's sooner or later, it may last for a whole lifetime, but at the end there's death, and that relationship is going to be finished. We may seek shelter in our parents. My parents have died. I was in France earlier this year to bury my father, you know. Of course, I can say he wasn't much of a shelter for me in this life, you know. But anyway, Krishna will take care of him, because I'm trying to be a devotee, so Krishna will take care of him. Anyway, there may be quarrels because of envy, but we need to know where to seek shelter. Where are we going to find real shelter? Shelter that's not going to end with this. So where is that shelter? That shelter is in Krishna, of course, who is the shelter for everything, because he's the source of everything, and he's the best friend of everybody. In the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, Krishna says, Ishvara sarva bhutanam rite sherchin junatishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudani mayaya. I am the Supreme Lord is the controller of everyone. He's seated in everyone's heart. And this is the Paramatma feature of Krishna. Vishnu is sitting in our heart. And he's the friend. Ninth chapter, text 18, there's Krishna is explaining himself to Arjuna. And he says, Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Sharanam Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Sharanam I forget. Anyway, Suridam. He says Suridam. He's the most dear friend, and he's sitting in our heart. So we need to take shelter of the super soul who's giving us intelligence from within the heart, how to become a devotee. Now, it doesn't mean that we should be unfriendly to anybody else, but our primary friendship should be with the super soul in the heart, because he's the one who's been our friend ever since we left the spiritual world. He's been accompanying us in the material world. Every body that we've had, you know, whether it be a demigod or a worm, a microbe, a plant, a tree, 4,800,000 different species of life, and that we've been through many times in this material world, but the super soul has been with us constantly as our friend, waiting for us to turn to him, to renew our friendship with him. So the super soul. And then those that represent the super soul also, the spiritual master, who's an external representative of the super soul. He's because we are covered over and forgetful, Krishna in the form of super soul appears externally as the spiritual master and gives us instructions and guidance and gives us intelligence. By these instructions, we gain intelligence how to navigate our way through this horrible material world full of death and quarrels and temporary relationships. And so that's the real shelter that we have. That's Krishna as a super soul is the one that gives us protection, gives us shelter. That answer your question? Okay. Jai. Thank you very much for your questions and attention. Srimad Bhagavatam Granthara Jaki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.